Yeah? But I want to bring you to Matthew 28, verse 20. I'm not going to read it because most of you probably know it. If you don't, just nudge your neighbor and say, what the world's he talking about? And that'll be good. It'll get you knowing somebody for tonight. You can come and sit beside them then. Pastor Danny said he promises a food fight. And so that's good. And that's kind of our thing. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus is saying and talking to his disciples, go into all the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, that kind of thing. But the thing that I like about that passage, the thing that I enjoy about it, I'm not sure why I enjoy it, but I do. Maybe obviously it's my personality, but in no place in that passage, while Jesus tells us what he wants us to do, in no place does he tell us how to do it. That's cool. How many of you younger guys here would wish nobody told you how to do stuff? Like, I just want to do stuff. I don't want to be told how. I just want to be told. I just want to be able to go and do something. And that's what Jesus does with these 12 independent individuals, fishermen, tax collectors, all independent-minded people. Jesus is pretty bright. Normally, he's pretty bright. And instead of telling them how to do everything, he just says, here's what I want you to do. Go make disciples, preach the gospel. He says, I don't care how you do it. I don't care where it gets done, just go and do it. How many entrepreneurs would love that kind of Jesus? That's the kind of Jesus I want to serve. It's not a list of all these things. It's, here's what I want you to do, just go do it. Figure out a way. If you're a mechanic, figure out a way to preach the gospel. If you're a housekeeper, figure out a way to share the gospel of Jesus. However you do it, it doesn't matter. But Jesus did inform us that while he doesn't tell us exactly how, he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. He says, I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. So you don't have to sweat it. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to do it in your own strength. You're not going to do it in your own power. You're going to do it in my power, but you're going to do it the way you feel is necessary or the best way. I'm liking that. And so Jesus is really saying, and I forget where I got this quote from, but I like the quote. I can't remember it, so I'll take credit for it, even though I can't. But it sounds good to me. Live in such a way. This is what Jesus is telling them. When he says, I'll clothe you with power from on high. Live in such a way that it can only be described as the power of God. Friends, if you want to change Ladner, if you want to change Tawasin, if you want to change Vancouver, and if you want a light to come forth from this place, live today in such a manner that it can only be described as the power of God. That's what's going to change things. That's what's going to happen. Preach the gospel, make disciples, live in such a way it can only be described as the power of God. That's what happened on Pentecost. Do we want to go back to Pentecost? Actually, Pastor, I don't. Sorry about that. I'm supposed to agree with everything the pastor says. But yeah, we want a Pentecost. Absolutely. But I don't want to go back there. Do you know how many people were one to Jesus on Pentecost? 3,000. Do you know how many people are one to Jesus every day around the world today? A couple hundred thousand every single day, one to Jesus. I don't want to go back to the early church. I kind of like it where it is right now. We've got some work to do. But 150, 200,000 people every day, one to Jesus Christ. We're in Pentecost. Jesus has empowered us from on high. All we've got to do is live that now and do what he wants us to do and preach the gospel in the way we're comfortable doing it, but inviting people, doing that. But here's the thing, and I'm always asked, I'm going to get into the stories right away, guys. Sweetheart, do you need this piece of paper? I've got two of them up here. Okay, cool. That's good. I'm glad you're not going to get them anyhow. But here's the problem. People are always asking me, why do we hear about all the miracles and all the wonders overseas, but it's not happening in Canada? I'm here to tell you, it is happening in Canada. We don't always see it, but it is. And it's going to happen more and more and more. The problem is, though, is that the church, from every stripe, from every denomination, has limited the power of God. We've limited the power of God. We hear good preaching on live according to your gifts. Engage the gifts God has given you. Do that. It'll change. We'll get opportunities and all those kinds of things. We are told, use your talents for God. That's all good. That's all true. It's all doctrinal. But that's exactly where we limit God. I'm here to tell you today that we need to live beyond our giftings and talents, because that's where the power of God is. That's where we find the power of God. You ask the disciples about that. They had to live beyond their giftings, beyond their talents, and do stuff that God wanted them to do, and they had no idea how to do it, but they said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. They live beyond their giftings and talents, because that's where faith comes in. That's where you've got to have faith, and you've got to have the power of God. That's what changes our world. So, sweetheart, I'll let you start the video, and I'm going to make some comments on that. So we're going to have a little bit of a commercial all the time. We've got a video. We've put together a compendium of some of the things that have happened over the last number of years, and we wanted to update you on some of these things. You've seen some of the reports.
I'd like to share with you a little bit about the Latin America Caribbean region. Latin America comprises Mexico, Central America, and all of South America, and of course the Caribbean is everything in the water, from Cuba to the island of Hispaniola, Jamaica, and so on. So let me just tell you, we're starting a small farm project in Cuba. We've started small business enterprises in different places, one including a pig breeding project. We're distributing barber kits as well to set up home businesses in some areas. It sounds simple, sounds easy, but it's important for these people.
It's really pain when you interrupt yourself, isn't it? At the beginning, I'm talking. I mean, maybe I need a psychiatrist or something. But in Cuba, it's an interesting place. A number of years ago, there were only 300 churches in Cuba. Now we've got over 8,000, and we're ministering to them. And I'll talk about the pig project in just a moment. But I want you to know this big, important piece of the puzzle is that we're training. Actually, I'll do that later, won't I? Sorry, sweetheart. Let's go back to the farm project. One of the problems in Cuba is that while the government is communistic, they say they look after everybody, they provide from birth to grave, they actually don't. One of the neglected groups in Cuba, one of the largest unprotected groups in Cuba, are those of the seniors. When they get old, their families have no money to support them. They have no money because they can't go and work. They're older. They're infirm. There's nothing for them. And so what happens is that they're often put in a home somewhere where there's not proper care, not proper ventilation. There's not proper anything. And you'll have black mold growing on the walls about a foot and a half high. They've got a bed that they lay in, sometimes no blankets, and most of the time no food. So one of our global workers in Cuba had the eureka moment and said, okay, I have no talent in this. I have no giftings in this, but this is how God's going to do it. And so she started a pig project. Now here's a city girl, short little blonde-haired city girl. She's only about that tall. City girl, she says, we're going to grow us some pigs. I'm thinking, whoa, good for you. Like, who thinks of that on the mission field? Like, who thinks of that? You know, most people say, well, let's go back to Canada, raise some money, we'll buy food. She says, no, we're going to raise pigs. Not only that, but we're going to raise vegetable gardens, which she had never done in her life. Then not only that, she said, we're going to grow fruit trees, which she had never done in her life. Going above her talents, going above her giftings, that to find the power of God as she walks by faith to meet the needs of God's people. She's doing that, and to this now, it's just been going on since about November. People are beginning to get proper nutrition. Older people, lights are coming on in their eyes. They're being led to Jesus Christ, who they know of, but don't know personally. And so it's a joy to see an entire community, numbers of communities, and this is replicable throughout the entire countryside and in any other country. We're seeing people reach for Jesus Christ, empowered by Jesus, baptized in the Holy Spirit, challenged and changed, and telling their neighbors in the next room about Jesus Christ. Friends, revival is going on in the old folks' homes. How many have ever heard that? We always say, let's go schools and get revival. Do you know what? Seniors in Canada just this week surpassed the population of kids. Get used to praying for revival in seniors' homes, because that's what, brother, where we're going to be one time. And I want to be in a place where there's some revival going on. So let's pray for revival. That's what Benita Abrams, our missionary in Cuba, one of our missionaries in Cuba, is doing. Sweetheart.
In the Dominican Republic and Haiti, we have begun and established pregnancy resource centers for young women, older women. It's a marvelous act of God's grace.
What's just happening?
Simple things again. We had another lady go to Haiti with her husband as global workers. And they, again, were wondering, okay, we know we're called to evangelize. We know we're called to disciple. We know we're called to plant a church of young adults, which went from zero to about 250 in 6 months. We know we're called to do this, but there's got to be something else. We've got to do something more practical. The spiritual is good, but remember, man is three parts: body, soul, and spirit. So we got to touch the body. We got to touch the soul, not just the spirit. And so they said, what can we do? And this global worker's wife, Bridget, decides, you know, I'm not a nurse. I don't have any medical training, but I'm going to live beyond my giftings and talents. We need to establish a pregnancy crisis center where you can bring women in who are pregnant, so prenatal and postnatal care, where they can come in and get appropriate care, because there's too many kids dying before they reach the age of one. There's just so many of them dying before then. We've got to change this. It's a practical thing. Yes, it's important to evangelize the older and the teenagers, the young adults, and everyone else, but somehow we've got to minister to these women. And so these pregnancy crisis centers have been established in a couple of countries. Again, replicable. We can do that around the region. And we're excited that people are saying, listen, I may not have any ability, may not have the gift, may not have the talent, but I'm going to yield my life and see what the power of God can do through me. Sweetheart?
In Cuba, I was down there with Darcy McAllister, and we were ministering to the National Church, and they had invited us to come down and to train them in how to develop their own World Missions Program. Around 6,000 plus churches are involved in this. What a wonderful opportunity, and that really is the goal of the PAOC.
Buddy, I'm in.
This is a cool story about Cuba. How many of you know that the goal of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada is not to go into a country and stay there? Our goal as the PAOC is to go in, bring people to Jesus, discipleship, or disciple them, and train them to go and do the work of the gospel. That's what we do. The sooner we can get out of a country or out of a city, the better. We want to go in, get things done the way God wants, leave it with the nationals. And so we've done in Cuba, and I said over 6,000, so actually over 8,000 churches now been involved in this, that they've asked the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, because we have a good relationship with them, to come in to Cuba and train them to do world missions. They've asked us to come in and establish a missions organization with them that will go into all the world. And already the first Cuban has gone into the country of Ecuador. The grandson of Fidel. Now, who would even think that? Like, I'm thinking, if I was praying, I'd say, God, send one of these. But send the grandson of Fidel. I mean, come on. That's the grand guru of communism. But that's what God's done. So this guy's up in the Amazon of Peru. He's in all these cool villages up there where there's not a whole lot there. But he's evangelizing and baptizing people in Jesus' name. All because of Ladner, you guys. That's what's happening.
Pucasana, Peru. As you can see around us, it is dry. It is barren. There is no vegetation. Yet behind me right here is a building that we're wanting to make into a church. It's being built, but we need your help to finish it. But more importantly than even that, we've got about 250 kids that need food all the time. And there's just nothing around here. What happened in
This is an interesting story in Pucasana. Sorry about the video. The guy that was videoing it, he's like got double ADD, ADHD. It's like every time I look at it, I have to actually close my eyes or look down, because it's just nauseous inducing. It's not a good thing. But nonetheless, the story's good. In this part of Peru, a couple hours outside of the capital city of Lima, and we're in other areas of Peru as well, but I'm highlighting this one, there's an area where the moms and dads, they fish for a living. There's nothing else growing there. You will not see, and this is not an evangelistic thing, you won't see a blade of grass in the place. It's sand. It's dirt. It's hot, it's hills, and it's water. And these kids who are there, these kids and young adults, youth, sometimes their parents don't come home simply because they've either taken off or the ocean's got them because they're out there fishing in the big waves of the Pacific. And so what we've begun to do is we've begun to establish a community center slash church with a feeding program attached to it. The unfortunate thing now is that the global worker who had committed to being there has had to come back to Canada. We need somebody. And Ladner, please pray. We need somebody to go down there and feed these 250 kids every day. Give them some food. Give them education. Give them some discipleship training. All of that stuff, because this is a group that in that particular area is not being touched. So if you would pray for us, that God would grab hold of a heart, grab hold of somebody and say, hey, it's not my gift, it's not my talent, but I'll do it. That would be appreciated. We'd love that.
Panama, just a few weeks ago, we were part of a Solo Uno conference where there was an outreach to every nation in our region, 46 plus nations. They were being taught about world missions and the desire we have to get them involved. And we had many, many young people. Out of 1,800, we probably had a couple hundred at least, say they are called to world mission.
That was a scary look there from doing that selfie thing. Man, I look at every time I look at it, I think we've got to do some Photoshop. Anybody know how to do some Photoshop? Like, take away some of that. But it was great. We had about 1,800, 2,000 young adults there, all wanting to hear from God. And so as we were able to share, over 250 of them said, yes, we will go where God wants us to go. And within weeks of that conference, we had a group of over 20 that went to the island of St. Martin in the West Indies, that's divided English and Dutch, went down there. That they went into universities, they went into high schools, and the high schools and universities said, please come back. Please come and tell us about Jesus and about how to disciple our young people, because they're in tough spots. They're struggling. There's suicides, just like here. There's suicides there. And so they've already established student ministries in high schools and universities there by the invitation of those schools and the government. And we're planning now on bringing them into more places. That's part of our personal ministry down there. It's a wonderful thing. We've got a guy, you saw the picture, Oliver and Suma. They're our Panamanian kids. They call us mom and dad. And we've really become that to them. And we love them. Their granddaughter calls us grandma and grandpa. All of those kinds of neat eye tear inducing things. And you know, it's just one of those great things. And they, in the last number of years, I'll go back to, when was it, 2015, I guess it would have been, in one particular year, catch this, in the universities in Panama, they led over 1,000 young adults to Jesus Christ and discipled them. By the way, it wasn't just mass meetings. It's sitting down eyeball to eyeball, telling people about Jesus with them and their team, and led over 1,000 of them to Jesus Christ, transformed. They now have become, they were in university, of course. So out of that, people who were in training to be doctors, lawyers, architects are saved. They have been discipled and are being discipled. They're starting to become leaders in churches, and they're impacting the entire nation of Panama because of some young couple that's gone in and said, it's not our ability, it's not our gifting, but man, if the power of God goes with us, we will go.
And I were in the city of Recife, Brazil, where we attended a great missions gathering, where there were great preaching, teaching, sharing about what God is doing around the world. There were people called to the mission field to go from Brazil to restricted access nations, as well as other nations around the world. And
how many of you like that dress Colleen was wearing? You can say it's ugly because she hates it. That's the dress. Every time you go down to Brazil for their missions conference, which they have it every year, Colleen, for some reason, gets assigned, because they assign stuff. They assign her that dress. And she just, oh, I'm doing it for Jesus, but that's all. You know, you really see the spirituality of your wife at times like that. I'm here to tell you, she's a great spiritual gal. But let me tell you about that school, our seminary that you and I and others are responsible for. It's one of the largest PAC seminaries that we've got going. We reach a number of different denominations with that. We've got other denominational leaders on staff with us and teaching. It's really an interdenominational thing led by the PAOC, so our doctrines are solid and all of that kind of thing. But they began a number of years ago to begin to say, we need a missions program. We've got to train these people coming in to be pastors to go into the mission field. They said, how do we do this? So they just began a missions program, teaching one course and another and another and another. And now, after a number of years, we've got about 60 plus, about 61, 62 now by the end of this month, over 60 global workers from that school, our school, that have gone into restricted access nations. Let me tell you the story of one. Here's a young woman, unmarried, single, young woman, feels called of God. Now remember, talents and giftings and the power of God. She feels a call of God to go into a North African nation that is 100% Muslim, a single woman going into a male-dominated country that's not her own. Single gal. Courage, I got to tell you. And she feels called of God. You talk courage now. She feels called of God to go into that Muslim North African nation where women are here and men are up here to develop a school called Christian Assembly or Christian School. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? How do you do that? Like, it's only God that can do it. But a single woman in a male-dominated society goes in and does it. The first year, just a couple years ago, there was 250 kids that were part of that school, and the parents banging on the door, literally in some cases, saying, we want our kids in this school teaching Christianity in a Muslim nation. This year, at the end of 2016, just very recently, he now has about 1,300 students and more parents banging on the wall, the door of her school, saying, we want our kids in this school. Do you think that she's operating in her giftings and talents? She's operating way beyond that by the power of God. She, a single gal, is transforming hundreds of families just because she felt the call of God. Another story in North Africa, another single gal, single, goes in, feels the call of God to go to a Muslim nation, doesn't have a clue what God's calling her to do there. She just goes, says, okay, God, I'm going. I'll learn the language. I'm going. She went. All she starts doing, she's walking up and down the streets. All she starts doing is talking to prostitutes. Okay, God, that might be a signal that I'm supposed to minister to them. She begins to minister to them. They're saved. They get discipled. They get out of the lifestyle. All of that. But she knows she's in a dangerous, precarious situation because you're not allowed to proselytize in this country. And we've had missionaries sent back home because they were beaten half to death because they were sharing Christ. So here's a single woman in this Muslim nation, male-dominated. She's leading women to Jesus. A knock came to her door one day. She opened the door. Here were several government officials with the authorities saying, are you so-and-so? Yes, I am. We understand that you are proselytizing, is the word they used, people in this country. And at that moment, she's thinking, okay, what's going to happen to me? I don't have any protectors here. I'm by myself. I can be put in jail. I can be killed. I can be deported, whatever. So question, what do you do? So she said, yes, I am. And they continued to inquire of her, and they said, I understand you're planting churches. They used that word. I understand you're planting churches with these people that you're proselytizing. Again, what do you do? She said, yes, we are. And those Muslim leaders said, will you do it more? Will you plant more churches? Will you proselytize more people? Can you imagine? Like, how does that happen? Operate not only with your gifts and talents, but say, God, I'll go above and beyond where only the power of God can possibly exist, and you have to live by faith. Friends, that's when nations are transformed.
This is a lot that we have purchased right beside our center that doesn't look like much right now, but the dream is for a playground to go up here. We have researched the community and talked to the families, and they have said to us that the top priority for their kids is like...
Those are nice bags of cement. I'm not sure why we have that in the picture, but it's cool.
Going on in the region.
That is not Peru. Or that's not Brazil. Interesting story. Now, those of you who've got our newsletter have heard me from time to time talk about Via Feliz. But for those of you who have not read the newsletters, I want you to know that Via Feliz is kind of an interesting point. Here you have Nelson Montero, a trained engineer, left Brazil to come to Canada to plant a church up here, then felt the call of God to go back to Brazil to work there. He's a trained engineer, never done youth work in his life. He's driving back and forth between the university where he was reaching out and seeing people saved, driving back and forth between his home and the university and going past this slum area. The average life expectancy in that slum, average life expectancy in that slum for the young male is 17 years old. If you get to 21, you're an old male in that place. Via Feliz, happy village, my goodness. Happy town. That's not really the happiest place. But that's what it was. So he's going back and forth saying, God, how do we reach these kids? Send somebody. Never ask God, how do you reach somebody? Because he'll probably tell you how. And then it's kind of on you to begin to do it. Right? And but he asked. It's a big mistake. God says, okay, I want you to do it. And Nelson, God bless him, he said, how on earth what am I going to do with this? But it goes in anyway. Power of God goes in. He says, how are we going to reach these people? Well, he finds an empty lot in there, and he says, I know some Christian soccer players. They play professionally and all that. I know one guy in particular who's a pastor's kid. He said, I'm going to ask him if he'll come and teach these young men, young boys, how to play soccer well. Because Brazil, you know what that's like. You know, they're born with a ball. And so he comes in three times a week to teach them soccer for a couple hours a week. People are getting saved. Young men are getting saved. Then he says, there's some young men that, yeah, soccer's kind of like the national sport, but they don't like it. But I know, now don't be offended, I know a break dancer. You know, guys twirls around on the floor and bounces around and all that stuff. He says, I know one of these guys. He's a born-again believer. So that guy comes in now. He's one of the best breakdancers in the world. You can see him on YouTube and stuff. He's just doing all kinds of weird, wacky things. But he's leading kids to Jesus. He has baptismal services probably once a month. It's a crazy thing. Do what God's given you. Just go ahead and do it. Another guy. There, he's a jiu-jitsu champion. He is the world champion jiu-jitsu guy 3 out of 4 years. The fourth year he was injured, he still made it to the finals. He's a Christian guy. So I go in there, I'm thinking, I'm as buff as any preacher. Well, when you look at a preacher and buff, there's a different perspective. It's preachers that are less big. That's all buff is to preachers. I'm just less big than you. That's buff. But he's there. So I go in and I'm thinking, I'm going to just have fun with this guy. So I go in and I just grab him by the lapels, just like this. I got to tell you, he had me up in the air. I got pictures of it. My feet straight up in the air and boom, right down on my back as quick as I could blink. It's great. But then he called all the kids he was teaching, jump on him in Portuguese, jump on him. And these kids, all these ankle biters, just, it was really a lot of fun. But this guy has left the profession. And I said, I'm planting the church. I'm called of God to plant a church in Via Feliz just this past November. That's what I'm doing. And now he's had, I think, 4 baptismal services. He's got a church going on. And I got a letter from the leaders of Via Feliz, because there are some older people that were there before all the troubles. Got a letter from the leaders. And they said, would you thank the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada for Nelson Montero and the fact he came? A guy who had no talent, no ability to do what God's doing there, and yet somehow God's done it. That's pretty cool when you get a letter, and now we're seeing young men not killing each other. We're seeing young women being a little more safe. God's changing an entire place. It's marvelous what we're seeing.
We've just sent another global worker into the country of Uruguay. This is the first time that PAOC has ever been in that country. It's one of the most ungodly nations in the entire Latin America Caribbean field. To pray for those global workers in Uruguay that they would be able to firmly establish the Bible Institute and the Church Planting Institute, as well as the feeding program for children. It's a tremendously exciting thing. And I'm also going to give you an update on my recent trip to the Dominican Republic.
Uruguay is an interesting place. I learned years ago that it's, as I mentioned there, it's probably the most ungodly nation in all of Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, you've all heard how ungodly Haiti is and all the voodoo and stuff like that. I got to tell you, they got nothing on Uruguay. Uruguay is ungodly, but people don't hear about it. It's a good place to retire and all that kind of thing, but it is ungodly to the core. Alejandro and Mercedes Trullo, Canadian citizens, originally from Uruguay, came to Canada as unsaved young adults, living together, got married, went to a Pentecostal church for some reason, some Sunday morning, gave their life to Jesus. Then they felt the call of God to go down to Costa Rica and be global workers for the PAUC, establishing a church, Bible Institute, all kinds of ministries going on. Then they talked to me several years ago, and it was a several-year process. They said, you know, Pastor James, we really feel that God's calling us back to Uruguay. We feel we need to go back. And so this December, just a few months ago, they landed in Uruguay. First time the PAUC's ever been in that country to do anything official. They've already established a church. They've had five Sundays now where the church has been going. People have already come to Christ. He's already established a Bible Institute that is registered with the university there, because he's got a master's degree. He's a teacher. The guy's a professional teacher. He knows what he's doing. And so he's got all this going on. Then somebody from Canada said, I'm going to give you $2,000 a month so you can get kids into a feeding program so they can learn at school. How does that happen? How does that happen? Like, this guy's, again, enjoying the power of God. So pray for the Citrullos as they engage this work in this ungodly, unholy nation of Uruguay, just north of Argentina.
Great vision that God has given to us, really for the equipping and empowering of nations. I'm standing right here on a 27-acre piece of property purchased by the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada with the vision of equipping and empowering Dominican nationals and also Canadian teams that come down. We have a four-phase vision for this project, and we're standing very close to phase one. And in the next few weeks, we are starting the construction of a house and storage facilities right over here to my left, your right, a passion fruit plantation where we have dedicated 3 acres to the production of passion fruit and more in the future. We'll train Dominican locals in agricultural principles. Phase 2 and 3, at the very back of our land, about a kilometer back behind me, we're going to build a center for retreat, team housing facilities, kitchen facilities. Phase 4, in a few years from now, when God permits, a conference and retreat center, training center for pastors that does not exist in this northeast area of the island. Key components that we believe will enable us to equip and empower the Dominican National Church and see even Dominican missionaries trained and sent overseas for the glory of God.
This is a great story. The Lord gifted them, it cost a little bit of money, but opened up 27 acres to us several years ago, which we were able to purchase. And just now, this is just a few weeks ago when I was there, they've laid the path, first caretaker's home, that kind of thing. But they've made plans for the passion fruit. They've made plans to raise other vegetables, animals, and so on for the benefit of the community. Because we found that while they're reaching a lot of people for Jesus, they've got to do something even more to get the entire community. So they're doing not only the spiritual training, the preaching, the teaching, the discipling, all of those things, but again, like in Cuba, very practical elements to reach into the community, and it's going to be self-sustaining. Now, we laugh sometimes at the international office about that. Yeah, self-sustaining. How often do we say that? But does it happen? It actually is happening. We've got coconut trees on that property that we'll use the coconuts. They sell them at so many hundreds of dollars per thousand, whatever it is. But it's cool. It raises funds. We've also just started this past Tuesday an international school of missions. It's something that the PAUC has done over in Asia. But we've transplanted it now. It's still over in Asia, but we've brought it to Latin America, Caribbean, where Canadians of any particular age who feel a call of God can come down for 1 month of intensive morning to night training on how to be a missionary, how to reach the world, how to reach them. And after that 1 month, I come down, we have a commissioning service, and we send them to a global worker of their choice within the region for 3 months. So they actually come down for training, and then for 3 months, it's on the ground discipleship with a global worker who shows them the ins and outs of all things, the good times, the bad times, the great times, all those kinds of things. And we're anticipating a great opportunity for Canadians to do this. It's all on your own bill. I like that. It's a cool thing. Lily Mae, it might be a cool thing for you guys to go down. Come on. And by the way, Lily Mae, that was a great video at the beginning. Thank you so much. And what I liked about it, you got everything right about me. You said the name the right way. You said the region the right way, Latin American Caribbean. You're one of the only ones who's ever done that and got it right. So thank you. I appreciate that. It's great. And by the way, you got a great presence on the video. Just really liked it. Where was I? Yeah, I was with Jesus and Lily Mae. Okay, that's good. That's a good start. Maybe we just leave it at that. That's okay, right? Yeah, Ryan, sweetheart, help me out here. Come on, do some ISM. So we're really excited about it. Just started this past week. We're excited for the first group to come through. It's a small group, as one would expect, the first time, just 4 or 5. But we're anticipating that to be up in 15, 20 in future years, and even up as high as 30 and 40. It's all going on there. It's marvelous. It's great. And you are part of it. Yeah, I'm actually going down at the end of this month to be there for the first commissioning service. So I get to lay hands on these people who've come down and said, we want to be global workers long-term, not just short-termers. We want to be there long-term. So I get to lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, send them to the global worker that they're going to be working with for 3 months. And what we're doing and praying, and I'm asking you to pray with us for this, that they would have their call to missions confirmed, that it would be confirmed. We're not asking, this is no holiday. If people want to come down for a holiday just to experience a different culture, I do not want them. I want people who sense a call from God to come down and say, I'll live beyond my giftings and talents if I get to see the glory of God. Those are the people we want. So I'm issuing a challenge for you today. Are you one of those people who want to donate 4 months of your time, perhaps the rest of your life, to what God would have you do in your life? Because it's a powerful moment for you.
We have a wonderful door of opportunity that we can walk through. And with your help, with your partnership, God is going to continue to speak here. God bless you.
I want to, before I close the service today, got about 5 minutes is all I'm going to need for you. Once I get this unlocked. Siri wants to keep talking to me for some reason. You know how that is? But I want to talk to you about the Bell Principle and the Lord's Prayer. The Bell Principle, a scientific fact, and the Lord's Prayer, a spiritual fact, and how the two of them come together as one. I believe that God created the world, the universe, and I believe he put into motion the scientific elements, the scientific laws that people are discovering. I believe God put those things in motion. The Bell Principle was discovered in about 1966 by a university over in Paris, and it's since evolved, even up until just a couple weeks ago. I read about it again, because I keep track of these things for whatever reason, though I'm not a scientist. I would never even pray to be one. That's so far above my giftings and talents, I don't think God could even help me there. That's one of those things that's... But what the Bell Principle says is this, that if a molecule or some other particle moves in that part of the universe, a gazillion miles, light years away, another one moves exactly the same distance, the same speed, the same way in another part of the universe. That's kind of cool. That's a principle, that's a scientific law that God put in place that others have found. One moves there, another moves there. Now I'm thinking of the Lord's Prayer. How does that fit with spiritual stuff? We're here. God's in heaven. God's in heaven. We pray here in Ladner. Somebody ends up going to Pukasana Peru to help that kids program. You pray here in Ladner, and some young mom in Haiti is getting the help that she needs at that very moment because somebody here in Ladner prayed. When something happens over in Brazil in this Via Feliz little happy village, and some young kid says, I'm no longer going to kill, I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to be discipled. It's because somebody here prayed and something happened there. That's how God does it, friends. You pray to God in heaven and God does something here on earth. That's the And you can't do what we're doing without us being there. It's a mutual partnership. And so I'm asking you to pray, knowing about the build principle and the Lord's Prayer, how it works, how that's a law God has established. And you're finding it out in the spirit, in the scientific realm, what we've always known in the spiritual, that when you pray, God moves. When you pray, something happens. And I'm asking you to pray. And I'm asking you if you'd go. I'm asking you if you would commit the latter part of your life, second career people, say, I'll go to the mission field, and more of them are coming. They're maybe taking 5 or 10 years to plan it out, but they're saying by the time we're 55, 56, 62 years old, we're going to be down there, and we're going to be there full time. This is happening. I'm asking you to pray. What is God challenging you to do? Will you live in Ladner? If you never went to the mission field, but you pray and you give, that's good. But will you pray for your influence in Ladner? Will you pray and say, God, use me beyond my giftings and talents. Show me something that you want to have done that's so far out of my realm. It's got to be you. Do you want to live an exciting life? That's what Peter learned. Get out of the boat, Peter. His gifting and talent was boats. God said, this walking in water business, that's way above your giftings and talents. And he got out and did it. Friends, what will you do?